Hello, everyone. Welcome to Peer-to-Peer Real Estate Show. I'm your host, William Morales. On today's show, I have Jennifer Sino Tucker. Did I pronounce it Sino right?
Yeah, that's it. That's it.
Great. She is Associate Broker and Vice President of Business Development for Exit Realty United. And she's located in Nassau County, New York, which I didn't know until a minute ago. Jennifer, how are you?
I'm doing great, William. Thanks for having me. This is definitely the time to help real estate agents that are trying to chug along here during this climate.
No, it's my pleasure. You know, and I wanted to talk to you. You know, we'll definitely touch base on real estate agents and what they're going through. But before we do, did you always have an entrepreneur spirit as you were growing up? Were you at 5 years old saying, I'm going to get into real estate, or you grew into your career and business?
I was kind of born into the business unknowingly. My mom's been in the business over 30 years now. But growing up, the family had a small business as well, servicing the neighborhood through oil service and things of that nature. So right. The entrepreneurial kind of spirit was kind of instilled in me, although I didn't recognize it at all. And I've always had this kind of strong-willed, dominant kind of personality where I just go out and get things and I don't care who's in my way. I'll just either move you to the side or push you over kind of a mentality. And that's kind of where it all began when, you know, I was much younger, but I didn't recognize it until I was in the workforce as a teacher and I hated it. There was no fulfillment whatsoever in working that 9-to-5 kind of pace. Even though I was working with children and I thought I could help and service them, there was still no bad. For me personally and deep inside, I feel like, you know, I needed something more and I couldn't find a connection through teaching. I ultimately found it through real estate. So that's kind of where the path kind of led me.
How long you been in the real estate business now?
I'm in it 8 years, going on 9. Like I said, my mom's been in it over 30. She's a broker of our company, broker owner. And yeah, we're doing great. We have our own office that's been open almost five years now.
Oh, wow. So what's happening out in the world with the pandemic? How is currently the business going along?
We are on fire here in Nassau County and as well as Suffolk and all of Long Island and the burbs outside of the city themselves. We're just seeing droves of people really looking to get out of the city just because of the situation, yeah. Close proximity to people, a lot of families and moms and dads are just looking for the space because we're still in this hybrid state with school where you can kind of choose to go full-time in school or stay home full-time or have some type of hybrid, like 2 days in, 2-3 days out kind of thing. So I think families are looking for the support they need in a home because we have all these other people working from home too. So we need the space and you can't find it in a 2-bedroom apartment in Brooklyn.
No, you know, and it's the other day I had posted an article on LinkedIn, Twitter, and Facebook about I think there was an article saying there was 13,000 empty apartments in Manhattan alone.
Just Manhattan.
And I'm like, holy cow. But yeah, it's you hit it right on the head though. People are moving out. They want to get out of Manhattan because it's so you're so close together.
Yeah, and, exactly.
And you know, and then another, I think it was a CNBC a few months ago, where an owner of an office building was saying that he sees his employees, at least 20% of his workforce, working from home in the near future. Because he says, one, they were more productive. Two, you know, they're taking care of a loved one or a newborn. And three, he's saving money, tons of money, because he doesn't have to pay that rent now, at least for those 20% of the workforce.
Yeah,
you gonna, in your opinion, will you see that now even more, especially with people, especially moving out of New York now, or at least Manhattan, more people working from home? Is that happening in your business?
We're seeing that a lot as well, that more people are going to be working from home. My core niche market is working with investors. So I've ultimately been consulting with them, like, we need office space, like, and you've got to kind of find that in the basement, or whether that's in a spare room, to kind of make this office space, because people are going to need it to be working from home, you know, to have some designated area where, you know, for me, children are off limits to my office. So
sure.
something similar to that, because it's just space that you need in order to be productive. I'm actually loving working from home. I still kind of keep this hybrid myself, where I'm in two or three days and out 2 or 3 days, depending upon my work schedule and where I'll be. But I'm sure people, not just realtors, but everyone working from home is really kind of enjoying it. Like, I didn't mind this homeschool. I have a lot of friends who are complaining about it. I actually enjoyed it and liked being close to my daughter and being, like, right there hands on with her. I felt like I worked a lot more, but but it was worth it, you know. I found the time to make it happen.
So as associate broker and business development, what's your objective and what's your, let's say, duties of Exit Realty?
Yeah, so my primary job is really the training of new agents. You know, I'm only in the business 8 years, so I have experience, but I'm not this, you know, totally experienced agent like my mom would say. But yeah, I like training the new agents because it allows me to utilize that teaching background to really structure them and give them the tools and skills that they need in order to be productive. You know, statistics, we all know realtors leave the business 86%, I want to say, within the first 2 years. And we were seeing that in our office as well, when we sponsored new agents into our company, that they were leaving after 2 years. And we didn't understand why, but it was because they really didn't have the training. So we started this 7 Saturdays success training program. Where new agents would come in for, you know, 7 Saturdays, 7 weeks. And we would kind of create this module so that they could really, really create the life that they wanted through real estate. It was through that I thought, like, I had to get this word out there even more. I'm figuring, if we're doing it here in New York, there's got to be other brokerages out there that may be struggling with some sort of training program. And that was the reason for writing the book, Become a Rockstar Real Estate Agent. To kind of get the word out to the masses and let them know that they can do it too.
No, you know, it's funny that you say that, because I was a real estate agent for a short period of time within, I think I it was here in New York City, Manhattan. And there was no training. I just had the book and I had to leave because plus, Jennifer, I got in, I think, a month or two before the crash of 2008, I think it was.
Right.
Yeah. So it was a bad time, you know. Then you had owners paying commission 2-3 months later, offering no fee. So, and plus, yes, I didn't have the training, so I figured this wasn't for me. Plus, I was a little older. To me, being in the business at that, I was in my 40s then, and I thought, after a while, you know what, this is more of a young person's game. And please correct me if I'm wrong. But I think the training is important, because I did not have any type of training, who to talk to, right, how to approach, you know, any objections and things like that. So can you explain more of that, like some of the training that you guys do?
I mean, we really created a program that gets you going, and which is primarily reverse engineered, so that you understand that this is the goal, financial goal, lifestyle goal that you want to live. And we break that down into about, what is it, 6 different categories. Okay. What does your career want to look like? What does your finances want to look like? What's your family life, spiritual life, health life want to look like? So we kind of create this model, like, if this is what you want your life to look like, here's what we have to do in order to break that down into real estate. So again, it's a reverse engineering, starting from the top and working its way down. Wow. Primarily focusing on finances and what monetary goal do you want to hit. And that was kind of the making 100K a year kind of incentive too, because it seems to be like, that's like top producer kind of status, you know, maybe not to some of us, right? But it's a milestone for new agents to kind of hit that 100K. And we just
and it's funny. I was just thinking that number too. I'm like, yeah, if I was getting into the business, yeah, I think 100K would be that magic number.
It's like the magic number. Absolutely. Everyone wants to come in. It's like, yeah, I want to make 100K in real estate. That seems easy enough. I can do it, right? Well, and then what we do is really break it down to passive ways in order for you to create income and active ways. And those are basically the 9 strategies that we kind of create in order for agents to, you know, follow the path and really hit their goals.
No, I love that because I think at the end of the day, if you have a productive agent, obviously then your company becomes productive and then more and more, and then word of mouth happens to be out there and people want to work with you guys because A, you taught your agents well, B, you're working with investors like you said you were before, and C, people will say, hey man, this is the brokerage to go to. They teach you everything and you can get more and more agents and more business.
You know, this is a kind of free will, right? We go into real estate to kind of let go of that 9-to-5 and the paycheck and become our own entrepreneur, right? So we offer these seven weeks, and then the agents have an option to kind of not join a team, but join a mentorship program as well with me, where they work with me personally side by side, and we kind of get things going for them. Because as agents, we really are lead generators, right? And that's kind of sometimes as a new agent, one of the hardest things to do. What do I do? What's my first steps? You know, how do I continually generate leads? And if you mentor with me, I've got, you know, I'm holding 20 listings. So, I mean, there's definitely leads coming in. And it also helps me out as an agent as well. I tried the team method. It's not a good fit for me. I like the mentorship where I can kind of guide you and give you more of the direction of what you need.
So you do more one-on-one training than, let's say, 8 to 10 agents on each Saturday or something like that?
Yeah, so each Saturday we'll have about 10 agents in. Okay. And then after the set, well, like the 9 weeks, we kind of break it down. You have the option to kind of hang on and do a mentorship with me.
Oh, that's great. Okay, yeah. So you do offer that. So I guess the hardest part is trying to find motivated sellers and things like that, because everybody says, oh, you know, you just send them a letter and all that. I'm talking about on the investor side, but you're like, it's like a crapshoot because you're sending out a couple of thousand letters and you might get one or two responses. How does that work? Let's say reverse that for the real estate agent. Like, what kind of prospects do you guys look for? Do you guys look online for, let's say, for sale by owner, or the owner is renting a place? Do you target those guys, or is there a different approach?
Yeah, so what I kind of do with the agents who join the mentorship program is I really like them working with buyers first, because I think working with buyers first really kind of helps you understand the business inside and out. I think a lot of time with newer agents, we're always afraid to kind of mess up the words with sellers. And if we get it wrong, we're going to be knocked down, right? And we're not going to get the listing, and then morale goes away and you're like, oh no, what do I do? Why did I get into this business? Is this really the right business for me? So working with buyers is almost like a no risk, low risk kind of way for you to craft, you know, your style. Because it's all about presentation and who you are. And unfortunately, it is, you know, looking at the book first before you open the cover and seeing what it's all about as an agent. It really, really is. So the presentation, you know, with buyers allows you to kind of be like, I don't know what the answer is, but let me find that out for you. So there are ways for us to kind of come to that way. So working with buyers is key, and then just really staying in contact with them throughout the years, because we all know within like 7 to 10 years that they're going to turn over and look for something bigger.
Right. I like that concept, because with the buyers, you'll get what they want. Hey, I'm looking for 2,000 square foot apart house or whatever. So I like that, because at least you're getting pretty much their criteria right up front. Now, then after they get that, then this is up to the agent to look for that place. Now, how would they look for that criteria that the buyer's looking for?
Yeah, so it's not really just the criteria, right? That's all data. Okay. And those are strong will people. I use the DISC personality profiling to really help agents kind of profile the buyer so that we know how to really talk to them and find what they're looking for. Your D is more of a dominant, like you just explained, data and that in that situation. But there are people who buy more emotionally, right? And who need more of a supportive hand. So we have to become, as realtors, the chameleon and really adapt ourselves, or talk a little slower, a little bit slow, you know, not so New York and be all up and up, right? And really kind of bring our tone down. And I really teach agents to kind of do that. It's more about the mirroring in your wording in order to find them the home that they were looking for. Some people are all about safety and schools. Others are about location and property size, you know, or is this safe? Is the electrical panel updated? But those, if you know your buyer's personality, you're going to be able to find them the home quicker.
I love that. I, you know, it's such a difference from when I was there for, like I said, from 2008 to 2009 to 2020, because you have taken it to the next step. So for your new agents, you do the training, and then you hopefully they'll come in on Saturdays and obviously a little bit more than that. But how about your veterans that have been there like 5, 10, 15 years? Are you getting any pushback from them? Like, oh, no, I know what I'm doing. I've been doing this for this long. How about those?
Yeah, for sure. Veterans? I mean, we're definitely getting pushback. But when I see that they, I don't know if they're enjoying it, but they know it's a necessary part, is that technology and social media. We in our office, and I've been trying to get everyone to go paperless for so long. We are still using paper. I mean, and those experienced 15-year agents and more, mom included, still want to use paper. And I'm like, what are we doing? Are you crazy? Nothing is on paper. My presentations these days are either on the phone or through a Zoom or some kind of meeting online. I'm not even going to the house, I have to be honest with you, these days. Or if I am, it's only because I just need to see condition a little bit more. Is it more of an investor house or is it a regular sale kind of situation? But I have to say the majority of stuff is really online, and I'm definitely seeing the pushback from those agents as well, who are maybe like, I don't know if I'm ready for this change. I don't know what to do with it. I know it's here and it's coming, but I think I'm gonna sit back and wait.
Yeah, you know, it's funny that you say that, because I've talked to friends of mine that they have these veteran agents, and they, like you just said, they still want to do paper. They still want to go to, you know, to the place to look at it and see what's going on, where now it seems like a lot of things are being on the virtual side. Are you seeing more and more of that, let's say pre-COVID, or is it more because of COVID? And what do you think is going to happen after, God willing, COVID is over with?
Yeah, I mean, as a, I'm this kind of hybrid agent, right? I'm not a millennial, I'm more of a Generation X, right? I'm okay. In my 40s. So I'm more of this kind of like hybrid agent, where I know that social media and virtual kind of meetings are important, but yet I'm still meeting face-to-face as well. I think the shift definitely is going to be agents meeting clients in this kind of virtual stage, yet I don't believe that the buying process is going to be replaced virtually. Okay. People buy emotionally. They need to be in the home and feel this emotional connection to the home and the property to make sure that it's a good fit. You know, myself included, you know, even, you know, when women buy whatever women buy, shoes, clothes, whatever, right? It's this kind of, you know, moment. And that's the same thing with a home. I don't think that ever goes away.
No, and I agree. I'm one of those guys that I like to see, if I'm going to try on a dress shirt, I want to know that it fits and not look on Amazon and it tells you it's a large and it's a 40 by 32, whatever. It could, by the time it arrives, it could be smaller. It didn't fit. So I'm with you. I like the process of being there if I could, or having a pair of eyeballs looking for me and being my, like they say, eyes and ears.
That's why that kind of virtual kind of showings were really helpful. It kind of gave buyers that that initial kind of, okay, I want to take a second look and it's worth me taking a trip out to kind of see the property. I'm doing that on my listings in and of itself, so of course providing some virtual kind of walkthrough video always. But I've been doing that since the beginning. you know, I feel like when I came on, like no one was doing professional photography. Now, if you don't do it, it's like, how are you disservicing your sellers in that way?
Yeah, you know, it's funny that you say that, because I remember when I was an agent for a little while, we had to take pictures and we had to take them at a certain angle. So yeah, that's still, yeah. I when I look at on the investor side, when I look at a property, yeah, I'll say, ooh, that looks good. Then I'd say my little brother in, I'm like, hey, I'm in New York, he's in Florida. Hey, can you look at this property? Tell me what you think. If you were a renter or a buyer, would you rent it or buy it? So do you work with investors yourself or your company, or is that such a, you know,
I'm this strong kind of New York independent kind of girl there, Will. So I love working investors. I love the bottom line. Just show me the number. What is it? Let's get to it and get it sold. Right. I love that because it's so quick for me and I don't have to be emotionally tied up into it either. Okay. So working with investors is awesome. So that's really been my target these days, is finding distressed properties for my investors. And I really classify them as A, B's and C's, just like any other buyer or seller too, depending upon who they are and what kind of business we do together. So as a new investor myself, it's been definitely fun to kind of look for those properties that might make sense. I don't know if, I mean, a lot of people are talking about if we're going to see this kind of foreclosure kind of increase that might or might happen. I mean, I'm not sure what's going to happen. We're not seeing it here yet in right. New York, at least in Nassau and Suffolk County, but it may be on its way. I don't have that I definitely don't know about.
Yeah, I kind of agree with you, because it's hard to say, especially if COVID is dying down here in New York. You know, how many more businesses are going to open, especially around the country once it dies down. You know, one thing with social media that you talked about before, are you looking to put more, let's say, dollars into like Facebook, Instagram? Are those types of platforms, let's say, realtor ready? For lack of a better phrase.
Yeah, I think they're realtor ready for sure. I've used some marketing, Facebook marketing for itself. I mean, it's not about getting the proper marketing. It's not about getting the property sold, right? It's just about the exposure and, you know, getting the word out there. But I'm definitely increasing my marketing money in more videos. That's for sure. So I'm just coming out with a video series that'll be on my YouTube channel as well, all about Long Island vibes and what's going on, you know, best school districts, things to do around the neighborhoods, things like that, and just targeting some neighborhoods too.
So you see more and more of videos being more of the play for realtors, agents, anything like that? Because I think that's a great idea, because one, people, in my opinion, are a lot more visual than those that are, you know, prefer to, you know, maybe listen or hear a word of mouth from someone else. I'm a visual person, so I right. love to see that, you know. So is that more of the way to go in the future? More videos?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I mean, even as agents, when you're marketing yourself, right, it's all about you, Inc. You are your brand. You are there. You're the entrepreneur. This is your business, and you need to control it. The video side of it is real estate is a popularity contest. Let's be honest. I mean, it's all about, so what are you going to do in order to shine and be the rock star agent of that neighborhood, right? So you have to me, it's all about standing out, you know, not doing the norm and doing what everyone else is doing. Everyone does a just listed card. Everyone sends you a just sold card, right? What are you doing differently? Don't get me wrong. I send just listed and just sold, but they're targeted to specific people. But what do you do differently that sets you apart than everyone else? And I think that's kind of when I came in, I felt like I would started doing things differently than what everyone else in the office was doing. Because I was like, why are you doing this? Can't it be done better that way? You know, things like that.
What was that aha moment for you when you noticed that, like you just said, that realtors are always doing the same thing, you know, whether they give out business cards or they put their face on a poster? What was that aha moment for you, Jennifer, where you say, you know what, I need to do A, B, C, you know, let's say like the 9 steps to make the realtor a rock star. When was that aha moment?
The aha moment honestly came when I lost the listing. It was like, what am I not doing? You know, I'm doing everything the right way, the way I've been taught, the way everyone else has done it in the past, but yet I lost the listing and I didn't understand why. And my why was, I wasn't focused on the person in front of me, the relationship that I was about to create. I was focused on the transaction and the money that I was going to make from the potential listing, but not focusing on that client in front of me ultimately lost me the listing. And that really was the moment when I knew I needed to shift my business and my gears to say, okay, what am I going to do differently? And how am I going to attack this business? Because at that time as well, my numbers were kind of flatlining and, and staggering and not climbing. And I wasn't reaching that 100K. I was like at that 60 to 80 mark. And I'm like, I got to get there. And that's when I realized that I needed to hit my sphere of influence hard, contact them once a week and say, hey, how you doing? How are the kids? Keep in front of my dirty dozen, which is your mortgage brokers, your attorneys, your title people, right? Your home inspectors, stay in front of them constantly, right? Make sure that they're on your list. And just network. Those are kind of the three things that really brought my business to another level. Hitting the network scene, I didn't realize I had this social kind of gift, but it came naturally to me, you know, being in a BNI, a BNG, or a LATIP, those kind of groups. But a lot of people, maybe if you're starting out, maybe don't have the marketing money to join those kind of groups. It's all about being, whether you're the PTA president, that's your sphere as well. You know, friends, family, and those groups, church groups that you belong to are all really important.
How important it is for a realtor or an agent to build rapport with a seller and a buyer and an investor. Let's put them in three separate categories. How important is that for your company to make sure that these guys and these gals are, building the rapport that they need? Because, it's a referral business in a way. Can you give us like one or two steps for them to build rapport? Like, what would you suggest each of us do?
Right.
And vice versa, because we want to build rapport, obviously, with the real estate agent themselves too.
I mean, as a realtor, I send out a weekly email to all my contacts that I have in my database. So that was really important. It's funny. Actually, today, someone that I've been trying to list a home, he finally said today, he's like, I miss your weekly email. How come I can't find it? Where are you? But I'm here, like he reached out to me because he missed the week email. I'm like, no, you didn't miss it. It comes at 6 a.m. every Wednesday. It's on its way. So that weekly email keeps me in touch of my database, whether I'm picking up the phone and calling them or sending them a text message. I'm not this huge CRM girl because I believe that people who want to work with you are going to work with you in the now. The CRM for me was just a holding place, but I utilized Constant Contact to just send those people a weekly email so that they knew I was in front of them.
I love that's amazing because I don't hear agents use some of the agents that I work with using any time of either Constant Contact, AWeber, or GetResponse, anything like that. So you're definitely, in my opinion, ahead of the curve by using that type of CRM and email response, because that's great because you're constantly being, you're, I hate to say bombarding, but it's once a week. So people will say, oh yeah, Jennifer's sending me an email. Let me see what it is. So do you send like real estate updates or listing updates?
I send market reports as to what's happening on Long Island and Queens, what the market stats show, what's been sold, what's listed. I send some free featured properties in there that I'm kind of, looking. I like that. Maybe there's the buyer that's looking. And then usually just something light and personal about my family and what we're doing, and just to kind of keep it personal to them and let them know that, this isn't just about some long distance, arm's length away relationship. I really want to kind of bring you close and keep you in because I want to be your realtor for life.
Yeah, no, I love that. I think, you know, like I get emails every day. I'm pretty sure you do too. And some people, when I get them, I look, oh, let me click on, see what they got to say. So yeah, I'm with you on that. So if a new realtor wants to get in to find you, you know, they go to Exit Realty United, what kind of training at the beginning do they get, especially if they have no type of real estate experience?
Right. No, like I said before, we really break it down as to what your monetary goals are, right?
Gotcha. And then let's say the magic is 100.
All right. And then we work on the active processes as well as the passive processes. So the active processes include, you know, your networking and contacting your sphere of influence, right? Also maybe door knocking. Listen, everyone knocks door knocking, but in the beginning, you don't have a lot of marketing money. All right. So you have to trade your time for money. And in order for you to be in front of people, we've got to, you know, get you in front of them. I know door knocking may not be happening right now given COVID. So we have to leverage that somehow. There are phones that you can pick up and that's still, you know, you're still dialing that you can call people and door knock that way. Right. So that's another way that you can use this kind of active process. So we break those active processes down and so that you want to do hit like these 61 points, right? And I learned the 61 points of rhythm through Viral Workman, one of my coaches, where we break down these active processes where you're either door knocking, sending out cards, sending texts, emails, all these active things. And your goal is to get to 61 points. And that's really how we break down the daily activities that you need to be doing.
No, I like that. So talk more about your book, you know, and what's it, what's basically the gist of the book and what made you write it?
The gist of the book is really, you know, all about discovering your why, as to why you went into real estate and how to become this major, you know, like I said, rock star within your neighborhood, right? In the beginning, we all struggle with the systems and processes to get in place. And the book was really geared to show you and to show agents how you can use my system. And obviously, you know, it's my system, right? There are many other systems that might work out there, but my system, you can use my system in order for you to meet your financial goal and become this, you know, rock star agent of your neighborhood.
Yeah, no, I love it. So what's the name of the book again? So,
Become a rock star real estate agent, 7 steps to make 100K a year.
I love that. And talk more about your YouTube channel.
Oh, the YouTube channel. Yeah, so that's kind of new to me, I'll be honest with you, Will. Like I said, I'm more of this hybrid agent, and I chose to really utilize Facebook initially, but I, you know, in this climate that we're in, I know that video is so important. So ultimately, I'm creating this video series, more like a TV series of Long Island vibes and what's happening. And it's at Jenna Rossino Tucker Real Estate. That you can connect with me there and kind of check out my videos. And I also put some featured properties up there as well.
No, I love it. I love it. So before I let you go, are you still utilizing, obviously, Facebook? Is Instagram that's a go-to for you? And is the new kid on the block, TikTok? I don't even know what that is. I see commercials. I still don't know what it is.
My daughter's my videographer. So I'm a 14-year-old. So, you know, I don't even know. I couldn't even tell you what TikTok is either, I'll be honest. My platform is really just Facebook. I choose to be this more of a, you know, quiet person behind the real estate rock star. So to put my life out on the social media is not my way to go. But I do see the importance of it. And I know a lot of people will disagree with me, like, you know, it's not Facebook, it's Instagram. And yes, you have to have a TikTok. You know, the way that works for me is just Facebook. And so I'm okay with that. You know, I make the choice to just stick with that.
Yeah, no, for my real estate side, I use maybe post articles on Facebook. But if I do, when I do the podcast, I usually use Twitter and LinkedIn. Those are my go-to.
And you know, my target people who are sellers are in their 40s, they're not millennials, right? Yeah. So they're still this kind of hybrid kind of person. And most of them, the majority of them, probably 90% of them are just on Facebook. They don't even know what Instagram is. So yeah. I'm going to use that. If I'm going to target an audience that is more like me, then that's what they're using.
Yeah, no, I get it. Listen, Jennifer, I really appreciate you being on. You gave us so much wisdom. So if somebody wanted to look for you, what's the best way?
Yeah, they can connect with me on Facebook, obviously. Yeah. Right? Jennifer Cino Tucker. You can always connect with me there. But I'd love to give your audience a free download of my book.
That'd be great.
Yeah. Rockstaragenttraining.com. You can download my book for free. And then my book is now also available, if you're not a reader, on Audible. So you can get it there as well.
So rockstaragenttraining.com?
That's it, yep.
Okay, definitely. I'll put that on the show notes. And before I let you go, any words of wisdom you want to say to brand new agents that are looking to get into the business?
Yeah, you already have the tools and the mindset to be a rock star agent. You just don't know where it is, and I can help you find it.
I love it. Well, listen, Jennifer, thank you so much for taking time out of your busy schedule to talk to Peer-to-Peer Real Estate. I really, really appreciate it.
Hey, no, it was great. Thank you so much. I really appreciate being a guest as well.
No, definitely. Thank you. Well, everyone, that was Jennifer Cino Tucker, and you can find her at rockstaragenttraining.com. That's rockstaragenttraining.com. Jennifer, thank you so much for being on today's Peer-to-Peer Real Estate Show. Really, really appreciate it. You can find me at peer-to-peerrealestate.com. That's peer-to-peerrealestate.com. Check out our past shows, our blog, and our resource page. Also, if you go to Apple Podcasts, look for us on Peer-to-Peer Real Estate Podcast. Please subscribe, leave a review, tell us how we can make this show better. And before I go, guys, just a couple more things. Do not give up on your dreams. Fight for it, guard it, protect it. Don't let anyone talk you out of it. And I really believe if you keep the momentum going, good things will happen. Anyway, on behalf of Peer-to-Peer Real Estate Show, I'm Willie Morales. Until next time, thanks, everybody. Have a great day, and please stay safe. Bye.